Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
And welcome to Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. I am your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
Sydney, welcome to the program.
Thank you for welcoming me to the program. It's my program, too.
Welcome to our program. We've been on parental leave for a while.
That's true. Should we start making Chuck introduce herself, too?
Yeah. Or? Hey, introduce yourself, Chuck. Okay, that's about as good.
She kind of made a noise.
That's not bad. As good as we're going to get.
She's busy. She's eating right now.
I'm exhausted. So tired.
Yeah. So, get this. Babies don't sleep much.
I hate sleeping.
Well, that's not true. Babies sleep a lot when you don't want them to.
If you ever said sleep like a baby, you should punch yourself in the face. It doesn't make... I said on Twitter, my baby sleeps like a frat boy fighting a drunken blackout. Like, what? No, I'm fine.
That's really true. And she likes to puke and rally a lot.
Yeah, she does puke and rally.
She'll
That's true.
Eat, and then I'll pick her up, and she will look at me so lovingly, and then just puke.
Blech.
And then instantly she's like, I'm hungry again.
I'm hungry. Feed me, Mom.
You just saw my food come back out. You know it's not in there.
So we're exhausted. We haven't been sleeping, but we have a very good reason for that. There's a child, and it makes noises. These noises you can't imagine. These terrible noises.
Now, there are a lot of people who can't sleep, but they don't have a child that's causing that problem.
Right.
They can't sleep.
They just can't sleep. They are, forgive me, using a medical term, that's usually your area, they're insomniacs.
That's right. And we've had several people suggest to us the topic of insomnia through emails and tweets and in person. I don't know. A lot of people want to hear about insomnia, and it seems very appropriate right now.
Yes.
So I don't know how much sense we'll be able to make because of our lack of sleep.
But we will we'll give it a go. Sydney, where does it come from? Like, take me back to the very beginning of insomnia. Where does this all start?
Well, the term insomnia is a reference to the Roman god Somnus,
okay.
The god of sleep. He's the equivalent. You may know him better as Hypnos, the Greek god, you know.
Oh,
you're
my boy
so
Hypnos.
Much more familiar with Greek mythology than Roman mythology.
I would tell people I'm a fan of whichever one is not being discussed then, so then I complete ignorance. It's sort of like have you ever read Dante's Inferno, not in English version of that that argument.
Do you say that?
Not in English.
I'm glad you didn't say that to me when we were dating.
It's true though.
Because Chuck might not be
but
here.
But it's true. I have it.
Yeah,
right
I
in
know,
English.
But you know, pretentious
yeah.
much.
Really. I know, but it's like a
Yeah, no, I get it.
Just like meet me halfway on this, please. It's been a while. I'm a little rusty.
Okay. You're going to have to work on the goofs a little bit.
The goofs like, will come.
Yeah. Are they going to get better as the episode goes on? Or is
I have
that
no guarantee.
Is that
like,
the best you got
it's
right
like
now?
4 hours.
Did you just burn that right now?
Do you think,
Dante's Inferno
Can
joke?
I tell you something? Do you think that this environment is goof friendly? Do you think this is a goof positive environment you're creating right now?
Chuck looks very receptive.
She doesn't do anything
right
to show she didn't contribute at all. She's useless. She just makes coos. Oh, everybody loves those. Oh, cooing.
Insomnia is a pretty ancient disorder. People have had trouble sleeping as long as they've been sleeping.
Yeah, so, well, that makes sense.
That's all human history.
And it used to be they just had dirt to sleep on. They only had dirt and they had rock pillows and they made blankets out of grass and straw and they made pillows out of rocks And of course they had trouble sleeping. They slept on the dirt.
I don't think there were rock pillows.
They slept on rock pillows in the dirt.
And the other thing
they made blankets out of their own hair.
Yes, hair blankets. But we won't get into that because this is about medical history.
Well, medical, right. Okay.
So insomnia is also well chronicled, not only because it's been around for so long, but because a lot of famous people tend to have insomnia and like to talk about it.
Oh, yeah.
Or complain about it. I don't know. I guess however. insomnia was actually mentioned in Gilgamesh. Do you remember really? Gilgamesh?
I have never read Gilgamesh in English.
In English? I think, didn't they make us read some of that in school?
You were in the smart kid classes. I don't know.
Anyway, it's like the oldest.
I was offering like
one of the oldest
five
written.
People you meet in heaven and Hunger Games, that kind of stuff.
It's one of the, I believe it's one of the oldest recorded texts, I think. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the deals with Gilgamesh. But they talk about Gilgamesh himself dealing with insomnia as he becomes mortal. And there were a lot of writings that insomnia had to do with that bridge between mortality and immortality, I guess suggesting that if you're immortal, you don't have to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then as you become mortal, you just can't sleep because you're used to not sleeping.
Okay.
Man, if you're becoming mortal and you're sleeping for the first time ever, can you imagine how good that would feel?
Like good or weird? Like, think about you've never had to sleep before.
But now, I mean, that's your first sleep ever.
But you don't, but like you used to have full days. You used to be able to stay up and see Craig Ferguson, but now what? Nothing. You're asleep. You used to be up, you used to watch the Carson Daly Show. Now you can't see that anymore.
That sounds exhausting.
I know. Well, maybe, I guess. Yeah, it does provide a nice rhythm to the day, but it's just because of what we're used to.
Are we becoming immortal?
No. No, quite the opposite. I'm dying every day.
Insomnia was also associated with love sickness a lot in writings. Like that was the time you couldn't. So either you're becoming immortal or you're crushing on somebody pretty hard.
So, yeah.
One of the two.
There's probably a few Cosmo articles about it.
There was also a lot throughout a lot of history when insomnia was associated with fear, specifically a very practical fear.
Lions.
That crap would happen to you while you were sleeping. No, yeah. That's exactly it. That you might get killed. Or somebody might steal all your stuff, all of your human hair blankets.
Yeah,
rock pillows.
It took forever to weave those.
So, but the biggest fear was not that somebody would steal your stuff while you were asleep, but that the devil would steal your soul while you were sleeping.
Okay, a lot of people sleep though. How is he going to decide whose soul to steal while he's asleep? This sounds more like paranoid people. I bet normal. Everyday Joes weren't worried about the devil stealing their soul while they were sleeping.
No, a lot of people were. Sleeping was considered a vulnerable state when, you know, you could be, demons could take you over, you could be possessed.
How would you ever, like, take your stand against that?
Well, there were people who tried not to sleep.
Ugh.
Or at least not to sleep for very long. There were actually, it was considered holy to make your bed extremely uncomfortable. It was like a mark of your faith, mm-hmm. because then you'd wake up a lot at night and it protected you from the devil.
I bet that wasn't a stretch for most of like the old timey period dating from.
My pillow's made of rock, but that's because I'm so faithful.
I'm so faithful.
I'm so holy.
Are you happy with this, old timey Jesus?
Look how uncomfortable my human hair bed is.
Look at my back. It's crazy. It looks like a Z. It's Z-shaped. I have a Z-shaped back. I'm in hell. You happy now?
Shakespeare wrote about insomnia in several different plays. That's mentioned that people with like mental disturbances have insomnia. Mm-hmm. So I think like Lady Macbeth would be a good example of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't she wander the halls awake, talking to herself?
Yeah, Hamlet. My boy Hamlet probably wasn't sleeping so good.
Yeah, wasn't sleeping very good. And that was a common thing too. So if you weren't possessed when you weren't sleeping, you may just be crazy was kind of the way people saw.
Yeah.
It was also associated in the 17th century in Europe with morality. So if you were a good person, you didn't sleep a lot. Sleeping was kind of like an indulgence, like, you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll, and sleep.
It's the Justin McElroy story. Except not so much with the sex or the drugs, and only occasionally rock and roll, but definitely sleep.
So if you wanted to show off what a good person you were, you would stay awake a lot?
I guess. That seems to have flipped now, right? It seems like all the good people these days get their 8 hours in, no questions asked.
I still think that there's an association with people who sleep in, though, because that was a big part of
it. Okay, that's true.
If you were a good person, then you were like up at 5 a.m. Mm-hmm. Milking the cows or whatever.
But raising barns.
Raising barns. I'm sure you were doing that.
A lot of that.
And I think that persists, that, you know, we always think of like lazy people sleep in.
Mm-hmm. But that's not real. I mean,
it's not a good quality.
And it's not necessarily insomnia, right? I mean, like somebody.
No, this isn't insomnia, but people who had insomnia were seen as being more moral, being as better people, because they just naturally didn't sleep.
Right.
So.
Oh, they were happy.
God had blessed them with a, you know, lack of need for sleep.
How do you combat it back in those times? There's no Ambien.
No, there was no Ambien. There have been a lot of different cures for insomnia. So if we go all the way back to the Egyptians, I found that you could write the name of the spirit who was responsible for insomnia, but I could not actually find the name of this spirit.
Okay.
Lost to history. As far as I know.
Like Prince. Like the artist formerly known as the spirit known as the one with insomnia.
That one. You could write it on a laurel leaf and put it under your mattress or pillow. And then you're good. I wouldn't recommend that.
No, I don't think that will help.
But that was better than in the Middle Ages when they recommended that you just drink some gall from a castrated boar.
No, I'm good on that front too. I think that that would probably give me indigestion. That's always a problem with me with insomnia, because I have trouble sleeping sometimes. And you know how sometimes you get it and you're like, oh, I should go take a Tums, but I'm already in bed.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the worst thing that ever happens to me.
Yeah, that's the worst thing that ever.
That's the worst thing.
Doing pretty good there, yeah, McElroy.
Things are going well.
Well, don't worry. You could mix the castrated boar gall with some herbs for flavor.
Okay. Yeah. Put that on a nice skirt steak.
Mm-hmm. No.
No.
Mm.
Cast iron skillet.
Mm. You could always try instead rubbing some dormouse fat on the bottom of your feet.
Dormouse fat, gross.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you know
they have to be living, though?
I mean, would you know a dormouse on sight? Like, if you saw a mouse, would you be like, eh, not a dormouse? I don't know.
Is it just like a really tiny mouse, like a shrew kind of?
Is a shrew a mouse? A
shrew's in the mouse family.
I don't know. I don't know anything about animals.
Certainly not. You're evidencing a lot of this ignorance right now.
I didn't know if a dormouse was a specific breed of mouse.
We should change the subtitle of the show to a marital tour of misguided medicine, and definitely, totally, definitely nothing about animals. Oh please.
we don't know anything about animals.
We know less than our baby daughter about animals.
When I think of a dormouse, I think of the mice on Cinderella.
Oh, I was gonna say Alice in Wonderland, but yeah.
Oh well, yeah, there's that. That actually is a dormouse.
Yeah.
But I think of Gus on Cinderella. The one with the memories carrying the stack of cheese.
So I take Gus and I rub his fat little belly on my feet, and Gus is like, "What are you doing?" And I say, "I can't sleep." And he's like, "I'm not a dormouse.
Do you want some cheese?
Have you been listening to Sawbones? I'm not a dormouse. That's ridiculous."
If you didn't want to do that, or you don't have a dormouse,
and I don't.
If Gus isn't visiting you tonight, you could just lather your head with hard yellow soap.
I wonder if times get really tight as a dormouse, you sell yourself into dormouse prostitution. When things got real bad, and I let a sleepy man rub my tummy on his feet. That was the lowest moment.
I think it's adorable that you assume that rubbing dormouse fat, that the way we're supposed to interpret that is that they took the tummy of a dormouse and just rubbed it on your feet and then let it scurry away. Maybe, I like that interpretation maybe better than what it almost certainly actually means.
I think that maybe what's happening here is you are so tired from chasing a tiny mouse that you fall asleep. Come back here, you.
I'm trying not to laugh too hard because Charlie has fallen asleep against me.
You picked the wrong husband. Maybe you didn't hear earlier some of my jokes about Dante's Inferno.
Anyway, so what I was saying is you could just take a bar of hard yellow soap, lather your head in it, leave it in all night, and do that again every night for 2 weeks.
Okay. On it.
Which is better than the dormouse thing.
Certainly. No argument there.
in the 19th century, there were a lot of theories that it had to do, especially at the turn of the century going into the 20th, that it had to do with blood flow, because everything had to do with blood flow then. We're talking about, like, prime, like, leeching time.
Right.
So you could take a wet rag and tie it around your wrist, because they knew that that was the site of your radial pulse, so they thought that that would do something to slow blood flow and put you to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
There was the theory that it was due to too much blood in the head, so you would prop your head up on pillows. Or that insomnia could be the result of a lack of blood to your head, so you prop your feet up on pillows.
None of that is accurate, I'm assuming.
Don't prop both up on pillows. I don't know. All the blood pools in your midsection.
And your butt swells up.
In your butt.
Butt blood.
In Japan, one cure was sea slug entrails.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know how you get those. I guess you get a sea slug, first of all.
Yeah.
Track that down. In the early colonies, you could try a raw onion.
To what? Just eat it?
Just eat it. Eat a raw onion. I don't know why. That would just, I think that would give you indigestion.
Absolutely.
I think
that would cause problems. No question. That would make things definitely, definitely worse.
Nobody wants to sleep with you after that.
No, that you have that going for you.
Yeah,
you'll have your peace.
In France, they would try fried lettuce.
I've never even heard of that happening as a thing. I guess fried kale is a thing.
Is a thing.
So I guess you could fry lettuce. That just seems... defeat the purpose.
That shocks me about the French. They seem so much more sophisticated than to fry lettuce.
Yeah.
That totally sounds like something we would do here.
They love their butter,
well,
though.
Maybe I could fry it.
What if I just took the salad and fried it? I can't sleep.
I'm going to beer batter this salad.
Beer batter this salad.
then I'm gonna fry it and I'm going to eat it.
I'm going to take this crouton and fry it. That should count.
If you read different accounts, different places throughout time and space, time and the world, milk comes up again and again, and it was usually mixed with something. It could be something herbal. Warm milk is kind of an older thing, mm-hmm. I mean, that's not a new cure. People still say that, but with elderberry blossoms and iris was a popular concoction. You could try thyme, chamomile, which people still, you know, drink chamomile tea. Mm-hmm. Hops, so maybe just have a beer.
That's legit. Chamomile has some calming chemicals in there.
Mm-hmm. Valerian, which could help you calm down, and catnip, actually.
Hmm.
So lots of different herbal cures that popped up throughout history, and a lot of those are still in use today. And I'm not saying that necessarily all of them work, but they're still touted for that. Pliny, of course, had something to say about it.
Hit me.
Now, Pliny did recognize that poppies would work, and this was not, he was not revolutionary. A lot of people were already using poppies at the time,
mm-hmm.
for lack of sleep. And of course, that makes sense, you know, opium.
Right.
He also claimed the word poppies came from, and I think we mentioned this before, the infant food pap.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about that on the
opium episode.
Or was it was on the breastfeeding episode.
Oh, you're probably right.
Or was it on the opium episode?
I don't know. I'll check the wiki.
It was some kind of infant food mixture that they would make with, like, bread soaked in water and stuff like that. And he thought that word, pap, led to papaver, which is the word for poppies.
I'm with you.
The root word. Anyway. And that was because poppies were often given to infants in their pap, mm-hmm. to lull them to sleep.
Yeah.
You know, so do we want to try that later? Or?
At this point... It's got to beat the NyQuil I've been slipping her.
Disclaimer, we're not actually giving our infant NyQuil.
No, we're just staring at her and praying.
No. Please sleep.
And begging her.
Why are your eyes so open?
They're so open and awake.
They're so open. If you want to try a magic cure.
Yes. Are you kidding me? Is that a trick question?
There's an amulet. There's a stone that is particularly effective in this arena.
Mm-hmm.
Lapis lazuli.
Okay.
It is a blue stone. I know that from
Minecraft. Yes,
thank you
correct.
Very much.
Thank you, video games.
In addition to helping you sleep, it is also considered the stone of universal truth and friendship.
Okay.
Yeah. It enhances your psychic ability and energizes your throat chakra. No, it doesn't do
that.
I literally thought it was made up.
When I first encountered it in Minecraft, I thought it was a made-up thing like redstone.
I absolutely did, too. But no, it's real, and it has magical powers, or so the website on healing amulets that I read said it has magical powers. So if you are having trouble with your throat chakra or sleep, try that pretty blue stone.
You mentioned earlier in the program that some well-known folks have struggled with insomnia. Can you hit me with a few names?
Well, Justin, it's been a while, so you may not remember how this works. But before we can go on any further, I'm going to need you to visit our billing department.
All right, let's go.
Well, it's Mother's Day almost, and you know how stressful it is to wait the last minute, Sid.
Oh, absolutely.
What if I told you could just knock it out right now with Aura Frames?
Well, that would be such a relief.
And Father's Day, and all the other days that you got to get gifts for a special person in your life, could you do any better than an Aura Frame?
Or just because. Why wait for a special day?
That's
just
right.
Just get somebody an Aura Frame because they'd love it.
I describe it as a high-tech gift you don't need to be high-tech to use. What that means is you can set it up for this person, this grandparent, this close family friend, whoever it may be. And after you give it to them, you can use your Aura Frames app to send pictures wirelessly. I can do it in 10 seconds right now to our mother-in-law. My mother-in-law is Sydney's mom, Mary's frame. Cute picture of the kids, whatever. Mm-hmm. We're out and about. Something fun happens. Send a picture.
Maybe a cute picture of me. I'm her kid.
That's right. Yeah, she loves cute pictures of Sydney, which is all of them, by the way. This was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and by me, Justin, and her, Sydney. We love this thing. And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code Sawbones at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Okay, Sid, I want to do a quick tree check with you. How are our fast-growing trees doing back there in the backyard?
Oh, Justin, they are thriving in our backyard.
They are thriving. That's right, because fast-growing trees helped us to pick the right kind of trees for our environment and gave me, on the phone, free consultation when I had a question about the best way to plant them. I literally called them on the phone, and I talked to a person, and they told me what to do. And you cannot beat that. Not in 2024, certainly.
No. Where do you get service like that?
You buy a tree from Fast Growing Trees or a bush. They got over 10,000 different kinds of plants. 2 million happy customers. You choose what you like. They're going to get it directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. They have a 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, but that free plant consultation, that lasts forever. This is a great company. We have really enjoyed the plants that we've gotten. I just got a bush. I think it's called a lemonade blueberry bush, something like that.
We got two different kind of apple trees.
Oh, I can't wait for those to start producing those delicious apples that our children seem to consume at a pace that rivals a cider factory.
Like right Cooper now, will eat the core, not a joke.
Hey, she eats the core. Right now, I need every tree you all have. I need an orchard. I need fast-growing orchards. They have the best deals online up to half off on select plants. Listeners get an additional 15% off when you use the code Sawbones at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code Sawbones at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code Sawbones. Offer is valid for a limited time. Tell them we sent you.
So Sid, famous people. I'm ready.
Okay. Well, first of all, you haven't heard of this guy, but his name is Al Herpin.
Al Herpin.
And I mention him.
Sounds like a real soul of the earth type.
Because he was famous for his insomnia.
Oh, yeah?
He claims to be the man who never slept. He said that his mother had some kind of accident while she was pregnant right before she delivered him. And it resulted in him never sleeping his entire life. He lived to his 90s. He said that at night he would just sit in a rocking chair and rest.
Ugh, I bet his family debated over what room he was going to do that in.
Not Al, the room where I'm sleeping, because that's weird.
Al, are you in here? You have to say something, Al. I have to know you're in here. I'm just going to the kitchen.
Now he claimed to not have any health effects from the lack of sleeping, which is
how would he know? He has no barometer.
That kind of insomnia. Well, that's true. That's true. He doesn't know. And there were a handful of other people who have that kind of problem, but I thought that was interesting. The man who never slept. Now, let's talk about real famous people.
Okay.
Churchill. So, Churchill was a famous insomniac, and he had his own cure for it. He slept in two twin beds, and he would switch between one and the other every time he woke up at night.
I love that. That's like the extreme version of cool side of the pillow, except it's cool side of the bed.
it's funny
the
that
the other bed.
It's funny that you mentioned that because Benjamin Franklin was another famous insomniac who believed very strongly that heat was the cause of insomnia, too much heat in the body. And so at night, he would get up over and over again. Every time he had trouble sleeping, he would just throw open all the windows and doors and let his room get icy cold.
You know, I don't think that that's crazy. Most of the time when I have trouble sleeping, I feel really hot. Like, I feel like I can feel all my skin simultaneously, and it's very warm.
You can feel all your skin?
I can feel all my skin touching everything in the world.
Well, it is true that sleeping in a cooler room can help with good quality
That doesn't
sleep.
Stop you from complaining about it, though, every single
okay,
night of my life.
Okay, you make our room an ice palace.
Anybody else, Sydney?
Dickens.
Sydney calls me Elsa.
Yes, I do. I call him Elsa at night because he sleeps in an ice palace.
Okay.
And poor Chuck and I are freezing.
Yeah.
Dickens was a famous insomniac. He believed that you needed to sleep in a bed pointing north in order to help combat insomnia.
Okay, don't believe that.
So he would use a compass. He would actually travel with one just to ensure that he could always position his bed mm-hmm. pointing north. And he would sleep in the exact center of his bed. He would actually lay down in the middle of his bed and then hold his arms out to the side until he was certain he was right in the middle.
The single life.
This didn't work very well, so he spent a lot of nights just taking walks around London, mm-hmm. which is actually probably a good thing for all of us.
Yeah, because he kept up with his ideas.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
His stories, if mm-hmm. you will, his tales.
He wasn't the only one. Napoleon, Edison, Alexander Dumas, they were all insomniacs who just accepted it, didn't really do anything to try to cure it, and put that time to good use.
Mm-hmm.
Van Gogh, also an insomniac.
Not a surprise there. No. He had a lot of things going on.
And he would try to put himself to sleep by soaking his pillow and his mattress in camphor to try to knock him out at night.
What's camphor?
Camphor is this waxy substance made from probably dried rosemary leaves is where it's found.
Mm-hmm.
And it can put you to sleep.
Okay.
Well, or at least he hoped it could.
I hope it works sometimes. That kid has been eating for like 25 minutes.
Yeah.
She's going to pop. I'm really worried about her.
Oh, she's not going to pop. She's just probably going to puke on me later.
Fantastic.
Or maybe you.
Possibly me. You never know. It's impossible to say. Only she knows for sure.
W.C. Fields was an insomniac and could only fall asleep if under an umbrella that had water falling on it.
Man, he was like a wood nymph with W.C. Fields.
So I guess he hired somebody is my guess.
Yeah, see, I want to sleep underneath a giant mushroom. Find a big toadstool, see? Yeah.
Lincoln was famously an insomniac who was known for taking his midnight walks as a result. Mm-hmm. Bill Clinton, an insomniac, although after his heart attack, he actually made an effort to start trying to fix the insomnia. He took advantage of it so that he could do more stuff, but then after his heart attack, he decided to take better care of himself. Mm-hmm. Marilyn Monroe had insomnia, which probably contributed to her eventual overdose. Madonna is an insomniac, and Margaret Thatcher was an insomniac, said that it didn't bother her because sleep is for wimps.
So if I actually want to treat it, Sid, what do I do? What are my options?
So there are lots of medications throughout history that have been used to treat insomnia. There are certainly a lot today. The oldest drug that was used is definitely poppies or opium.
Poppies!
The Greeks, the Egyptians, everybody used opium. Probably not an appropriate use, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Barbiturates were used. Again, Marilyn Monroe, probably a lot of people think of. We don't use those nowadays. Alcohol was used for a while and a lot of different sleep serums. Alcohol is not a good idea. It actually disrupts your sleep cycles. And even though it might knock you out at first, it will lead to low quality sleep. Opiates are an inappropriate thing that was used. Marijuana became popular because of Queen Victoria used it for menstrual cramps. So that was used for a while. And then finally, we invented the benzodiazepines, things like Valium. Mm-hmm. And those became popular, and nowadays, of course, we've got lots of hypnotics, the Ambiens, Lunesta, Sonatas.
Hypnotics? Is what those are called?
Yeah.
I've never heard that terminology before.
Now I will tell you.
That works for me. Just a little while of.
That stuff is gross.
It's not good.
I don't like that stuff. Now, I will tell you, none of these drugs actually work to cure insomnia.
Uh-oh.
A lot of them, even if they temporarily knock you out, are not doing anything to fix the problem of lack of sleep, that you're having difficulty sleeping. Mm-hmm. The only thing that's been proven to really fix it is cognitive behavioral therapy, if it is of psychological origin, I should say.
Are there physical?
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of different. It depends on behavioral things. You know, are you smoking? Are you drinking a lot of caffeine? Are you drinking a lot of alcohol? It can be your sleep behavior. Do you try to watch TV at night? That's not good. Lack of exercise. Or it could be something underlying depression, anxiety. There are a million different causes. And if you're suffering from insomnia, instead of buying a sleeping pill, I would definitely talk to a doctor about it.
But, I mean, it can't kill you. It's the good news, right?
Well, that's not true.
I don't know.
Now, for the most part, the insomnia that we would have every once in a while, kind of like, you know, everybody has a headache every once in a while. You may suffer from some acute insomnia due to life circumstances or... So for that kind of acute insomnia that we may have from time to time, don't worry about it. It's probably not going to last very long. Even if you have chronic insomnia where you only get a few hours of sleep at night, this is still not what I'm talking about.
I mean, worry about it in the sense that, like, it sucks. So, you know, make every effort you can to address it. But don't lose sleep over it.
But when we're talking about people dying from insomnia, we're really talking about fatal familial insomnia.
Oh, so you can die from it.
Yes.
Excellent.
It's a very rare disorder. Mm-hmm. It's a prion disorder. It's like a malformed protein in your brain. Mm-hmm. If you've heard of prions before, it's because of mad cow disease. This has nothing to do with mad cow disease, but there you go.
Okay.
It exists in about 25 different families worldwide, so it's extremely rare. You are born with it. It doesn't start becoming symptomatic till middle age.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, the lifespan after that is about 18 months.
Ugh.
You just slowly get less and less sleep until you can't sleep at all, and then you're hallucinating, and you kind of stay in this, like, pre-sleep state until eventually you
can't. Doesn't that call into question Al Herpin's story?
Well, that is a problem, and that's why, you know, these cases of people who say that they've never slept, a lot of them obviously weren't well-documented or researched.
Right.
Some other things, just interesting facts about insomnia, animals can get insomnia.
Mm-hmm.
Bugs can suffer from insomnia. Mm-hmm. Researchers have spent lots of time breeding flies that specifically have insomnia for mm-hmm. whatever reason. I mentioned earlier that...
That's kind of messed up, scientists, by the way. If you're lying
really
in bed at night, unable to sleep because you've done something very cruel, you have, and that's a good impulse. Lean into it.
As I mentioned before, a lot of people think that love sickness can cause... insomnia doesn't. Don't worry about that. And I thought this was interesting. There's something called sleep concerts. So if you're really desperate and you're an insomniac, check out a sleep concert.
What is a sleep concert?
So you can still go to these. I don't think there are many in the U.S., but you can still find them in Japan. They were popularized by Robert Rich in the U.S. This was back in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And he was an ambient musician. He is an ambient musician,
musician.
Yeah, he makes ambient music.
Ambient.
Not Ambien, the sleep medicine.
Right.
Ambient musician. So he makes really great ambient music.
There's nothing that puts me at ease and prepares me to shift onto dreamland like a room full of people who haven't slept for a while. That's excellent. I'm at peace.
He would put on these all-night concerts, and a lot of it had to do with, he kind of cooked this idea up in the 70s, so it had to do with, like, altered states and, you know, groovy stuff.
Yeah.
And you would go to this concert, and basically you were supposed to chill out and sleep, and you laugh, but you would totally check that music. You're going to look up this guy's music. I know you are. One thing I should say is, as I mentioned, nowadays we've got lots of drugs out there. I would talk to a doctor first. If you don't have to, I would not use medication. I would recommend against it. And try sleep hygiene. You know what that means?
Getting into a rhythm, making sure the room's in a good state.
Yeah,
making
a cool, dark room.
State.
Don't watch TV in bed. Don't do anything in bed other than sleep and have sex.
Okay.
And cut out the cigarettes and the caffeine and the booze. Yep.
I want to say thank you to people who shipped us gifts, especially pertaining to our new baby, Charlie. We had a beautiful blanket from Erica that she shipped us that is just gorgeous. Hannah also sent us some candy and some booties that she made and a really lovely letter For Chuck, John Bailey sent us a Pliny onesie, which is really super cute. It says half pint on the back, which is kind of funny because it's for the beer, Pliny the Elder beer. Aaron made us a hat with little whales on it, which is beautiful. And Anne sent us some postcards from the Apothecary Museum in her area and a book that she bought there.
Yeah, very cool stuff.
Thank you to everybody who did that. If you have the urge to send us something at P.O. Box 54, Huntington, West Virginia, 25706, we don't expect you to. This is as far as our contract between each other goes. We just ask for a half hour of your time, and in exchange, we offer you the world.
Yeah, but thank you so much, especially when you take time to make something for Chuck. That really means a lot to us, and we will make sure as she wears these items to get pictures out on Twitter.
No, not Twitter. I don't want my baby on Twitter. We'll put them on the Sawbones page. How's that?
Okay, we'll do that.
So that's on Facebook, by the way. Just search for Sawbones. You can go join up there and talk about the show. Or you can do that at the Maximum Fun Forum. So that's MaximumFun.org. You see, Maximum Fun is a podcast network that we are a part of together with other great programs like Stop Podcasting Yourself, My Brother and Me. Oh, no. I said My Brother and Me. I'm not supposed
to. You took my part.
Let me try again. Pretend I didn't say it. Stop Podcasting Yourself, The Goose Down, Jordan, Jesse Go, One Bad Mother.
My Brother and Me.
Thank you so much, dear. So many others. Uh-oh, folks, that means that it's time for us to go. Please go subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us a review. And so all the other things that you do to promote people that you like. Come to our Facebook group. Come to the MaximumFun.org forums. And thanks again to Harry's. And thank you to you so much for listening to our program. Until next Tuesday, I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.